Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, beginning verse 25. And it reads like this: Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then out of the Gospel of Matthew, again in chapter 5, at verse 14, and Jesus again speaking, and he says, "You are the light of the world." Yesterday, we paused to remember the life, the impact, and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a man who nonviolently and with courage, born out of his values, aligned with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the chaos he faced, and in his shortened span of years here with us, did more, in my view, to change the racial issues in this country than any one person or group or institution before or since. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s last speech ever given, usually known by the title, "I've Been to the Mountaintop," was delivered on the eve of April 3rd, 1968. Dr. King was in Memphis, Tennessee at the time to address what was going on with the Memphis sanitation strike. The next day, he was assassinated. In his speech, Dr. King shared his views about Christ's parable of the Good Samaritan, who stopped to help a man in need on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. A Samaritan, hated by the Jews, yet who stopped to help an injured Jewish man who had already been passed by a Jewish priest and a Jewish Levite, or a temple assistant of the priest. Toward the end of his speech, Dr. King shared this possibility as to why the three who came upon the wounded man acted the way they did. He suggested that maybe the first question both the priest and the Levite asked themselves was, "If I stop to help this man on this dangerous road, what will happen to me?" And they both passed by, thinking of themselves and not the man. But then the Good Samaritan came along. And Dr. King suggested that he reverse the question as he thought and then asked himself, "If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him?" And he stopped to help the hurting man, thinking first of the man and not himself. Dr. King's legacy of love, service, being a light in the darkness, touched a world in chaos. And he touched those for good who agreed with him, and he touched those for good who didn't agree with him. And he always continued to envision how it should and could be, and he kept painting that picture for everyone. He continued to serve Christ and others by calling others to be the best they could be together. It would be a blessing were he here today to help guide us along the road through the difficulties we face with the virus, the protests turning violent, destructive, and deadly in so many cities this last year across our nation, and with election issues leading to a national discord and division. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear." And were we able to take a deep breath every now and then in the midst of everything going on personally and in the world, I would think that we would have to agree with him. Dr. King reminds me of the life of someone else who every day of his life was led by God's call to serve, to love, and to help others be the best they can be, and to make a difference in the world around them. A dear friend of mine and many, especially to a few of you on this call, Kelly McGregor, who was the president at the time of the Colorado Rockies, and then stepped into heaven way too early, but whose life of impact is still felt today in the lives of so many others. Kelly saw himself in that story of the Good Samaritan every day of his life and in every setting in which God placed him, always looking out for the less fortunate, always coming to the aid of the least popular, being a light in their darkness, and always standing up for someone else in their difficult moment. But he also saw himself capable of falling into the role of the priest or the Levite who passed by the man in need on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho in that story. It was something that Kelly continually guarded against and encouraged others to guard against. And he did it by intentionally reaching out every day, even when it wasn't the most comfortable or convenient thing to do, like this occasion, which I've shared with some of you before, demonstrates. "What seems to be the trouble?" Kelly asked as he finally pulled up alongside the truck and the driver. The long hair, skull and crossbones on the leather vest of the man, and tattoos on the arms of that man standing by his broken-down pickup truck were much more evident to Kelly now. Kelly had seen him on the side of the road from his car as he drove past him a little while before, for the first time on Interstate 70, despite noticing that the man was in need. Kelly was already late for a meeting at the Rockies complex, and well, the truth of it was, as he shared later, that he wasn't sure he wanted to mix it up on the side of the road with a guy with a broken-down truck who looked like he would win a street fight with him and appeared to be pretty angry to boot. And so, he drove on past the man who was in obvious need on the side of the road. But a still small voice kept urging Kelly to go back. I remember when he told me the story, that voice urging him to do something that didn't feel comfortable to do, to serve, to help, to do the right thing. All of that kept bubbling up from that voice within him as Kelly drove past. And finally, it overcame him and the excuses that he had made earlier to justify passing by that man in need. And so Kelly took the next exit off the interstate, turned around, and worked his way back and pulled in behind the man and his disabled vehicle on the road. "I ran out of gas," the man said with a twinge of embarrassment in his voice. "It's awfully nice of you to stop." He didn't sound or act anything like Kelly imagined he might have as he remembered thinking about the man that he saw when he first drove by him. Kelly hoped the man couldn't see his own embarrassment with his earlier thoughts of trying to justify not stopping in the first place. "Jump in. There's a gas station at the next exit." That all felt right to Kelly now, because that's who Kelly was. That was his identity. For Christ, with Christ, and to the world. Servant leader, a light in the darkness, in his own way, one life at a time, making the world better. In the scripture we read a moment ago, recorded in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus makes it clear that in his kingdom, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, just as the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Servants, servants of Christ, light, that's who we're called to be, with whomever and wherever we find ourselves. That's who we are called to be in the chaos in the world around us. Servants, following Christ and looking to make a difference in every moment and in every life which comes before us, no matter what. Servants, striving to see in the chaos and difficulties of life the picture which God continues to paint for all we can be together with him. Servants who see the sacredness God has placed within every life and who seek to nurture that God-given potential within everyone, no matter what label society has placed upon them. Kelly saw that potential and sacredness in that man on the road who ran out of gas. But Kelly also saw it in everyone he met and came to know, and he made them feel that way, special, sacred, worthy, and with potential. Martin Luther King Jr. also saw that in everyone he met, whether they agreed with him or pushed against him. The same worth and potential the Samaritan man saw in the man he stopped to help on the road, the same that Christ saw in every person he met. God calls us to see the potential and sacredness in everyone, providing us with the opportunity to help, to lift, to encourage, and to be a light. And as his servants, to see all that we can be together and to move with God in that direction. God reminds us that it's not about us, but it's all about him and who and what we can be together with him. He calls us as his servants to look beyond what the world may see in others and to see the sacredness and potential in each and every person, to lift the world around us one life at a time, together, always moving toward the best that God desires for us to be under his leadership. Martin Luther King Jr. was like that. Kelly was like that. The Good Samaritan was like that. And of course, Christ was and is like that. And I know personally that many of you on this call are like that, lifting, serving, and a light to others around you so they can be all they were created to be. My friends, in the difficulties of our lives, despite finding our own cars and our own lives at times too often broken down on the side of the road, and with chaos and discord in the world all around us, we need to be like that for others. Servants, light, right where we are, for their best, for our best, and to be the best that God wants us to be together. Can you imagine what the world would look like if we did that? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this moment, just to pause and remember what you told us way back then, your disciples, as recorded in Matthew. We're to be light, and we're to serve. Help us to remember that. That's for today. That's what we need to do today. Help us to reach out in our personal lives, those around us in the world of chaos, and simply, one life at a time, serve, love, lift, be a light. And together, under your leadership, things will change. And the world as you envision it will become that way as we all move closer and closer to you and accept you and what you did for us through your son when he was born in the manger. We celebrated a short time ago. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all that you do for us and with us. And thanks for the promise that you will be with us forever. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.